Well, we're continuing our Freedom Friday series this morning with another area veteran. Jim Tyler joins us this morning. A lot of folks might know Jim through his long business association with the Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Company, but we want to talk a little bit about the days before that with the Army Air Corps. Jim, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Army Air Corps. A lot of folks don't even recognize that anymore.
They're the predecessor of the U.S. Air Force.
You joined in 1942 out of high school, and you enlisted.
That is very correct.
Why'd you make that choice?
Well, I knew that I didn't want to walk, and I thought I loved to fly, and turned out I did. And it was just a great thing. It wasn't. A lot of people talk about, well, the greatest generation and that, but it was just, you did what everybody else was doing. There wasn't anything special about it, but I had a wonderful 4 years in the Air Force. Didn't mind the military at all. In fact, I came home and told my dad I was thinking about staying in the service, and he said, "Well, come in here. I want to talk to you." And I went in, and he said, "You know, every time I go over to Creston and I see that Coca-Cola vendor there on the corner, I knew that it was there because I had something to do with it." And when I went to Atlantic and I saw a sign out there, Coca-Cola, he says, "I knew it was there because I had something to do with it." Well, to make a long story short, he convinced me.
You mentioned your dad. Was your family supportive when you made the initial decision to enlist?
Well, I think as all parents, they were probably reluctant, but it was just a thing to do. Everybody was doing it. It wasn't anything special. It was just something that you should do.
There was a job to do, and a lot of folks were getting drafted, of course, at that time. And I talked to a number of veterans, especially the World War II and Korean War eras, that kind of say the same thing, that, you know, we figured it was inevitable anyway, and at least if we had a chance to enlist, we had a little bit of a say on what we might do. We could pick the branch that we might be in.
Right, the branch. Yeah, I just thought that I wanted to fly.
Why? And, why? What hit you about that?
Well, this goes back to probably 1938, even maybe before that. They used to have barnstormers, and a Ford Trimotor aircraft came to Villisca and landed on a field south of town, and my dad let me take a ride in the thing. I think that's what really started me. It was just great.
Well, you had an opportunity after you enlisted and went through your basic training. Can you talk a little bit about your service time then? Where did you go after that?
Well, the first place I went was Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, down by St. Louis. And from there, I went to Beloit College in Beloit, Wisconsin, for what they called College Training Detachment. From there, I went to Santa Ana, California, where they had what they called classification. You were either classified as a pilot, a bombardier, or a navigator. And I knew that I wanted to fly, and I was very hopeful that I would pass all the requirements to be a pilot, which eventually I did. And from there, I went to King City, California, and took primary training in Ryan PT-22 planes. From there, I went to Taft, California, and flew Volte BT-13s for basic training. And from there, I went to Williams Field in Mesa, Arizona, and took advanced training in AT-6. From there, I went to Ajo, California, took gunnery training in AT-6s. And from there, went to Victorville, California, and flew P-39s, kind of a transition from a fairly slow plane, an AT-6, into a fighter-type aircraft. And from Victorville, I went to Santa Maria, California, for transition into P-38s, which was a twin-engine fighter. And we had 110 hours in that before we went overseas. And from there, took a train from San Francisco to Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia. Took a boat from there to Naples, 6 days, and our base was on the east side of Italy, a place called San Severo, and flew combat out of there.
You know, only in the military do they take a guy who is in the Air Corps and teach him how to fly and then send him someplace by train and then by boat.
Yeah. It was all interesting.
I bet it was. It was a good trip. You had an opportunity then to serve. You and I were visiting a little bit before we started recording here, and you talked a lot about the P-38, that special plane for you.
Oh, it was a beautiful plane to fly. Just a wonderful plane to fly. Twin engine. Built by Lockheed. One thing they told us right to start with, never point straight down because you'd run into compressibility, which in those days people knew very little about it except don't do it. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful plane to fly. We had four 50 caliber machine guns and one 20 millimeter cannon. We had, at times, we could carry either 250-gallon belly tanks or 150-gallon belly tank and a 500-pound RDX bomb on the other pylon. And or you could carry 310-gallon belly tanks. So we had a real extended range from southern Italy, clear up to, we flew up around Munich and Vienna. And the farthest I ever went was the westernmost tip of Czechoslovakia at that time. It was a long flight, but one time I ran low on gas coming back from Vienna. We did bomber escorts at first, and then after that, we did dive bombing, and at the last of the war, we did strafing missions. But one time, I was coming back from Vienna and ran low on fuel and landed on a little island off the coast of Yugoslavia, and they had gasoline in 55-gallon drums and hand-pumped and pumped enough into the plane for me to get back to my base.
Do what you have to do. You were able to reach the rank of first lieutenants.
Yep.
That gave you an opportunity to see and do a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it. I can't say, yeah, I did. I enjoyed the service. I didn't mind the military at all. I really didn't. And I met a lot of really great, great guys. And I still, when I go out to California in wintertime, I still go to Marchfield and see one of my friends that was overseas with me.
How much of your training, how much of what you learned, what you experienced in the military, did you take with you after that? How much did it shape you as a person into what you became as a husband, a father, a business leader?
Well, it teaches you discipline, for one thing. It teaches you how to get along with other people, which is one thing. I can't think of one thing that's more important today than knowing how to get along with your fellow human being. And that's one thing that the military did. I was always a great fan of UMT, Universal Military Training, and I think to this day that it wouldn't hurt. Maybe 80-85% of young people, when they graduate from high school, they don't really know what they want to do in the future. A small percentage do know. That's fine. But for those 85% or 80-85% that don't know what they want to go into some type of community service, universal military training for 12, 18 months, something like that, I think would do most young people a world of good. It'd teach them how to get along with people, teach them discipline, teach them to get up on time and go to work on time and teach them what a buck's worth. And
not much these days. No, it's you know, and that's one of the things too. So many youngsters, as you mentioned, they don't really have a focus, and why should they? They're 18 years old. I mean, there's a lot of time here.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
No, and how are you going to know where you're going to be 20 years from now? You start putting some things together. You don't have to be pointed in the right direction immediately. Sometimes all the experiences come together to make you ultimately responsible for that future and get you in a good spot.
I think that's very true. It's a learning situation, and as I said, teaching you how to get along with your fellow human beings, I really can't think of anything that's much more important today.
You bet. Well, and I know you continued the flight training that you got, the experience you had in the service. You continued on for a while after that. You had an opportunity to be able to continue to fly some, but when you got back into civilian life again, and it's nice to be able to take some of those experiences and some of those skills to be able to use them later on.
Oh, yeah, it's flying's just a great experience. It's too bad more people don't have an opportunity to be a pilot. I know, you know, I used to be a fan of traveling on commercial when I had to. But I'm not a big fan anymore because they just don't treat you like very nice, I don't think.
Well, we have a lot of opportunity here to visit with a lot of different veterans from different eras and things, and it seems like they all have that one thing in common. They all suggest that still, as you did, the military is a good option for some youngsters, and they should take a long, hard look at some of those options to help mold them into what they will become.
I think there's some young people here in town that even before they graduate from high school, they enlist in the National Guard, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for some people. I'll grant you, it's not for everybody, but there are some people that it does a world of good for.
You bet. Well, Jim, I appreciate it. A young kid from Villisca gets all that training, all that opportunity, and uses it, puts it to good use, and we appreciate it very much. 4 years in the service during a very critical time in our country's history, in the world's history, and we salute you for your service. We thank you very much for all you did to ensure that we still have the freedoms we have today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.